Monday fun day. Let's see. It is working on my Spanish over the weekend. Siete de Mayo, right?
Look at you.
Siete de Mayo.
Oh, siete. Yeah, seven. Right, right.
Siete de Mayo. It's the 7th of May, 2018. Welcome back to Monday fun day. Did you guys...
Welcome back, Mike Keller.
Did you guys miss me?
No.
Give this guy a salute. Look at that. He's our brand new Marine.
Yeah, look at this new muscle. I have muscles in places that I didn't even have places. Look at that.
Please don't do that again.
He walks very snappy around corners now. He knows how to make a bed.
I know how to stand at attention. Oh, I got to raise my microphone up a little higher. I will say, watching a Marine Corps graduation ceremony is a very emotional experience. I don't care if you guys judge me or whatever, but the thought of like...
No, it's amazing.
I'm at a point in my life where we won't have, children aren't far down the horizon for me, and I couldn't help but think during a graduation ceremony, like, man, if I had a son or daughter graduating the United States Marine Corps and them walking up to me, a completely different person, just, oh, God, it was so cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were in what, San Diego? You were out at the Marines camp out there?
I was, we went to a couple of different bases while we were out there. It started Monday when we flew out, had a welcome dinner. Tuesday, we went to what's the MCRD, which is the Marine Corps Recruitment Depot. This is the first place the Marines go, or I'm sorry, recruits go when they're not Marines. Their recruits go when they land. They take this white bus and they're driven to the MCRD, the Marine Corps Recruit Depot.
Okay,
where they're immediately they're told to when they pull up to where they pull up to, and this actually happened to us our very first day there, first full day. We were given the first 15 minutes, the exact thing that recruits go through.
Okay,
now are you in uniform or anything?
No. We're in street clothes. I guess they usually do this at night, but for us they did it during the day. And but no, they gave us it was legitimate drill instructors, and they gave us the complete experience. And so we were told to sit there with our heads down and look at your knees. So we're still sitting on a bus, like a school bus, except white. Look at your knees, and then don't move until you're told.
Okay.
So we look down. Oh, this guy gets on. He lets us have it. He's like, eyes up, look at me now. And we all have to yell, yes, sir. Okay, real quick. Recruits are only allowed to say three things for like the first month of their training.
Okay.
Yes, sir, no, sir, and aye, aye, sir. Yes, sir, when asked a question that requires the answer yes, no for no, and aye, aye, when given a command that you must instantly go follow.
Oh, no.
Eyes up, look at me now. Aye, sir. And then we get your asses off. You are welcome, United States. Get off the bus. Get off my bus now. Go, 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 go. So we haul ass off the bus, and we stand on what's called the yellow footprints. If you're not familiar with the yellow footprints in San Diego, Google it. It is the tradition. It is the first thing you stand on. The footprints are printed at a 45-degree angle, which is where the correct position your feet are supposed to be when standing at attention. They then teach you how to stand at attention. So we're sitting there, chest out, puffed up, ready to roll. And they yell at us for about 10 minutes. We read the code of conduct and whatever. Then we're like, now move over to these yellow footprints. Go! We run as fast as we can over these other footprints. And then we have to sprint into this building, into what's a room full of red cubbies. And in this room is where your all the belongings are taken away from you, your cell phone, your everything. You don't get none of it.
Right, okay.
Yep. And you're given your like three uniforms that you have to wash every couple of days. And it was just it was a cool experience. Then at the end of the 15 minutes, they're like, I'm not free, did I read? And then they have this little piece of paper that everybody has in each cubby. Like, you will see a white piece of paper on the top left corner of your cubby. I want you to take that and read it out loud as one now. Ready, go. And we pull it open and it says, congratulations, you've just survived the first 15 minutes of Marine Corps base boot camp. And then it's like, and then the drill instructors kind of calm down, and they're like, good morning, recruits. And they'll all of a sudden they get all friendly, but we're all still scared to hell. So they're like, that what you just experienced was indeed the first 15 minutes. We did not hold anything back.
Yeah.
Any questions? And all of us are afraid to ask a question.
Right.
And then if you listen to Q104, you know that I went there, and my coworker Allie did. Allie does our midday show. She's on from 10 till 3. Allie's a very sweet girl, very honest girl, very high energy, high kindness, like a
happiness tornado.
The happiness tornado, yep, that's the way to describe
it. Ray of sunshine, happiest person in the building, most optimistic person ever.
And it's not an act. She is genuinely that way. And she raises her hand, God bless her, to some of the scariest men you've met in your life. Will we be having a restroom break anytime soon? And the drill instructor's like, Well, like, he couldn't believe that this question was... Like, if a legitimate United States Marine recruit was asked that question, he's running 10 miles with carrying ammo cans. It's just, I mean, it's ridiculous. And so that kind of loosened everybody up, and he's like, yeah, about 10 minutes, we'll take a restroom break, or use the head. That's what it's called.
Oh, the head,
use the head.
Right.
And then don't worry, yes, she got her bathroom break, and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
No, what an incredible week it was, and thank you to the United States Marine Corps. If you or your child are interested, I'm happy to shoot us a tweet at Monday Funday KC. I will put you in personal connection with Gunnery Sergeant Jason Scott or Captain Jamie Carlstrom, who are great people. They will have you prepared to succeed as a Marine if you or your child choose to do so.
Now, you were only there for a couple days going through the full training and whatnot. Do you think you could survive as a United States Marine Corps?
You know what? I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to be shocked by my answer. But one of the things that this does, even though it's hard and it's hell and it's a lot of work and you're sore, but it gives you confidence. I am genuinely standing in front of you a more confident man than I was two weeks ago. And yes, I do. I think I'd be sore, and I think I'd hate life a little bit.
A little bit.
But I think I could do it.
But you'd hate it for that moment, and then you'd grow into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, by the end, by Thursday, we were standing in formation. We were yelling the correct commands back all the time. Mm-hmm. All right, I tell you what. And we were there. This was called, if you want to look it up, it's called Marine Corps Educators Workshop. If you're a teacher, guidance counselor, principal, I encourage you to go on this trip. They make it available every year to teachers and guidance counselors, or whoever you want throughout the Kansas City area. And you go, you experience kind of a week worth of boot camp. And then obviously their goal is to turn it around and be able to give high school students the proper advice on if they think the Marine Corps is for them. And I'll use this too. I hope somebody like at our Hot Country Night concerts this year comes up and asks me about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because my honest takeaway is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, you can do it. Like if you're thinking you can do it, you can do it. Like you can.
Yeah, I don't think I can do.
No,
that.
You could. And I'm including the what's called the Crucible. This is about week 9 out of your 13 weeks. They take you up to Camp Pendleton, about an hour north of San Diego.
Right.
And they treat you to become a marksman, because their policy is every Marine a rifleman. So you must be an expert with the gun. They'll test you from 200 yards, 300 yards, and 500 yards. And we did like 100 yards. I did all right.
Did you?
I did. I got a couple. Like, I shot the target in the chest a couple of times. So,
there you go.
Yeah, it was very cool.
That works.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I did well. And then... I forgot where I was going with this.
Did your running with Dolly beforehand help?
Yeah, it did. Actually, Tuesday we did what was called the combat fitness test.
Ooh, and, sounds terrifying.
That sounds awful.
Well, and this is where I had to turn in my man card because the key to that event is conserving your energy, but I did not conserve my energy. I'll give you the rundown is basically you run what's called the 880, which is code for a half mile, two laps around a track.
Okay.
All right, and then you take a 30-pound ammo can. You rest like 5 minutes. Take a 30-pound ammo can. You hold it up right here at your chest. And it's about the size. Think of like an old-school tin lunchbox.
All right, sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's 30 pounds full of ammo.
I'm out.
Hold it at your chest, and then like you lift it straight up, almost like a bench press, but your arms aren't as far wide.
Mm-hmm.
You're standing up straight. You're holding it at your chest. You lift it straight up. They tell you go. And for 2 minutes, you lift that thing up as many times as you can. Up, down, up, down, up,
while
down.
You're running.
No.
Oh.
You run the half mile, rest 5 minutes, then do the ammo can. And here's where things went well for me. Half mile, there were 60 of us total. I came in fifth on the half mile.
Well, there
That's
you go.
That's impressive.
3 minutes and 18 seconds on the half mile. That's pretty good.
That's pretty
good.
Great.
For you. Yep.
54 30-pound ammo can lifts in 2 minutes.
Sounds great.
Right? Couldn't do the third event.
Oh, no.
When I was a kid, I had asthma. And most people have asthma. They grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I haven't. I just don't. I just never exercise. So it came back, and I couldn't breathe, and I couldn't participate in the third event. And they called an ambulance for me.
Is that right? Did they really? Oh, my gosh.
Did you ride in the ambulance?
Oh, no. I didn't ride anywhere because I felt... The gunnery sergeant pulled me aside, and he was like, "Are you all right, man?" And I'm like... I had the wheezy breathing going.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I hadn't felt that in years. And I'm like, he's like, well, we might have like a breathing machine or something. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be able to go wuss like that. And then it was like an hour later, and I'm like, I still was breathing that way. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, hey, you want to let's sneak out and grab a breathing machine. I'm like, it's just a precautionary thing, but I'm not feeling it. And so he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. So what turned into a phone call to the Naval Department to bring a breathing machine turned into a police car, fire engine, and ambulance showing up because somehow thought somebody had drowned in the swimming pool.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm just like, no, it's just me. I just got some wheezy breathing. But
the old man.
So they rolled every emergency department out.
Well, it
there.
Turns out we were their only call all day. So they were like, bring everybody. So, they were bored. They had nothing else to do.
They needed something to do.
Yeah. So, so I sit in the ambulance and they're like, well, I can take you somewhere. And I'm like, no, I'm not dying. I just kind of wanted a quick hit of oxygen, to be honest with you.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, we don't have that here. You'd have to go to the hospital. I'm like, I'm not going to the hospital. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So then the paramedic was very cool. He's like, you know what? I've been in your shoes. He's like, I had asthma when I was a kid, and sometimes it kicks back up. Honestly, get back to the hotel tonight, take a hot, steamy shower. That'll kind of clear you up. You'll be good to go. Hmm. And it took two hot, steamy showers, but then I was fine. But we talked earlier about Allie, our little blonde midday girl, who did complete the course.
Of course
now,
she did.
She struggled through the end. But I tell you what, Allie has a warrior side to her that I did not see before, and that came out at the at boot camp. She kicked ass and took names, and
good,
it was awesome.
Good. And that sounds like a great week. I mean, that's I to say I'm proud of you, but I mean that's really an accomplishment. That's awesome.
I'm really impressed that you really took it. You know, 100%.
I was
you
in it to win it.
Win it.
Heck yeah.
I don't want to lose.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So we went, Thursday was the best day because we did the obstacle course. Okay. So let me tell you about the crucible. I know we're going too long. I don't care. So let me tell you about the crucible.
This is all interesting. I love this. This is great.
The crucible is the last step a recruit takes before becoming a Marine. The way they do it now is actually by week 9 or 10, they're called Marine, even though there's still 3 weeks of basic training to go.
Okay.
It used to be they became a Marine at graduation. That's not the case anymore.
Gotcha.
The Crucible, week 9, what they do is they take you up there and you, you're, how do I put this? It's a 3-day hike, roughly 35 to 39 miles total over a 3-day period.
Ooh.
You are only allowed to sleep for 4 hours a night. You are given 3 meals to divide however you see fit.
What?
Well, for the whole 3 days?
Yeah. The Marines I talked to, the common strategy was to not eat the first day because you start with a full belly. So don't eat it all the first day.
Yeah.
2 meals the second day and 1 for the final push at the end.
Because then you can, sure.
So that's the strategy they took. Now, at some point during the trip, they go to what's called the 12 stalls. The 12 stalls are obstacle courses set up that require critical thinking. It's not as simple as running through an obstacle course. For example, the first one we were given was a pain in the ass. It was you're on your way to get a 55-gallon drum of fuel, and on your way back, the bridge has been blown up. So now using 2 metal poles and a balance beam, find a way to team up and get this 55-gallon drum. It was empty. It was not full of 55 gallons of fuel. It was it was an empty barrel, so it was very light. But get this barrel using only 2 metal poles and a balance beam across this area. You can't touch the ground. You're out. You can't do anything this year. Out. And let me tell you what happens when you're out.
Wow.
You die, but you can come back to life like a video game. All you have to do is run down to this other area where they have the ammo cans I told you about, 30-pound ammo cans.
Okay.
You bend down with your knees. You pick up 1 in each hand, so 30 pounds in each hand. And you run about 1/8 of a mile down the road, turn around 1/8 of a mile back, put them down, get back to your course. So
that's how you, that's how, that's like
how
you're
you
one
bring
up.
Your life.
That's
right,
how you come back to life.
Okay.
So let me tell you about Staff Sergeant Young, who did not like me.
Oh, shocker.
He found out. So in all this trip, it was a bunch of guidance counselors and principals and teachers. Allie and I were actually the only media there. I think he kind of caught on to that, and then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to pick on one of these two.
And you can't pick on Allie.
You can't pick on Allie.
Well,
she's
of course
a sweetheart.
You can, right.
So he's like, oh, Keller, I'm going to F your world up here.
So good, he got my text.
I'm loving this.
So,
yeah.
we were struggling with this stupid-ass barrel. We finally get it over, and we're like, yeah, and we start clapping. He's like, is that clapping and cheering I hear over there? And I'm saying, yeah, it is, because we're rooting on our team. And he's like, the enemy heard you and shot. You're all dead. You're died. Now you have to go do the run.
No.
We all died. Whoa. Son of a. All right, whatever. So our whole team sprints down.
Way to be happy.
And me, just like with that half mile a couple days before.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm gonna ace this. I pick up those cans and I run, damn it. I run.
Mm-hmm.
Hit that turn. I make sure I'm past the line. I don't go to the line. I go past the line. I'm making sure I don't have to do this again. So I know, just because otherwise, if you, like, if they say, nope, you didn't go all the way, you'll do it again. So I ran past the line, turn around, run back. I'm the first one back. I beat everybody. Put the cans down. I'm running back to my obstacle. And then this staff sergeant yells, zero, which I have to respond. I have to yell, every time they yell zero, you have to yell freeze, and you have to immediately stop. Like, even if you're in, like, a weird, awkward position, you freeze.
Okay.
So put them down, run back, zero, freeze. And I hit say freeze, and I stop. And he's like, get back here. Yes. And I, sir, because you have to say I, sir, when given a command.
Okay, sure.
Get back here. I, sir. I get back to him, stand at attention. And he's like, who told you could put down those ammo cans?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Nobody, sir. Do it again. I, sir. You. So I pick him up. I run him again. And a little slower this time. But I do it, and I get back. And this, as if this fool hasn't had enough fun. I get back, I stand at attention with ammo boxes in my hand, 30 pounds each hand, stand right there, and he just looks at me, I look at him, I gotta make eye contact.
Yes.
And he's like, and he did his favorite thing, he did this with us all week. He's like, put him down, aye, sir, pick him back up, aye, sir, put him down, aye, sir, put him back up, aye, sir. Without exaggerating, he did this to me for about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I think I picked him up down 20 to 25 times. I couldn't use my legs anymore because my legs were too tired from running, so I bent at the back, not at the legs. That wasn't good.
Right.
That was the only way I could get him up. My legs weren't working, so I had to pick up at the back.
And during all of this, San Diego is not a cold place at all. What are you talking about? How hot is it there?
No, it wasn't hot. Actually, we had bad weather the first 3 days.
Oh,
it was
really
cloudy and rainy in San Diego. We were furious at that. I mean, it's nobody's fault. I know, first world problems. But no, it was probably upper 60s, maybe right around 70. So it was
fine. That's good. At least it wasn't 95.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm doing all this running and these ammo can carrying and these obstacles in a bulletproof vest and a helmet too.
Of course.
Which weigh another 15 pounds, and up again. Aye, sir. No, guys, get out of my sight. Aye, sir. He finally lets me go to complete the task, and I just look. I appreciate the man for his service, but maybe a little too far there. Like, all right, man, can I just get back to doing the damn obstacle already? Like,
no, that actually sounds perfect.
That really sounds great.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that.
Because why? I feel like if you were a sergeant and you were in his shoes, you would be doing the exact same thing to some kid.
Not to the to the recruits, yes, not to the educators. Like a little bit up and down, like 10 times I would have got, but like 90 seconds, 20, 25. I'm like, all right, dude, can I just do the obstacle? I didn't break. Screw him. I ran that noise.
You know, I actually
see a little bit more muscle over here, Mike.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, that's why I can see where you can have the confidence after going through something like that. And when you're done, it probably is relieving and it's emotional. And you're probably saying, dude, I made it. I kicked this thing's ass. This was awesome. And I came out a better person, a better man.
Right.
You know, all of that stuff. That's really great.
I'm really proud of you, Mike.
So then after that, we went to one of the chow halls, had our lunch. And this is cool because we got to eat whatever we want. We had what's called the Warrior's Breakfast. The Warrior's Breakfast is what happens after a Marine is done with the Crucible.
Okay.
And becomes a Marine. Oh, I didn't finish the Crucible story. So all those stunts I just told you, imagine hiking about 20 to 30 miles before doing these critical thinking obstacle courses that you have to do.
So you do that stuff within the Crucible. Okay.
Yeah. So, when you get done, the last day of your Crucible is when you go up what's called the Reaper, which is code for Big Ass Hill. But it's cool. You get up to the top. You're met there by your drill instructor who has this little metal... I don't think of like a Christmas ornament, but without the string on top to hang on to. But just a little something like the palm of your hand, and it's the eagle and the anchor going through the world. It's the Marine logo, just a little one, and you're given that, and at that point you are now called Marine. You're no longer a recruit; you're called Marine.
Wow!
And it's a very emotional moment for them, and obviously they get it, and then it's all good. You've done. You're exhausted. You're done. Now all you have to do is go. Now your next step, go to Chow Hall, get your Warrior breakfast. Eat as much as you want, as much as you can, and fill up. But it's only 6 miles away, so pick up your 50-pound bag and get down there and get you breakfast. So then, then after that, we got to shoot the guns, where I did really well. I mean, I nailed the target, but like I got them two in the chest. One I think I got like in the hip. No headshots.
Okay.
And then young Allie comes along again. She... Like, here, I tried to get my man card back by beating her. I shot well. Allie shot expert.
Oh,
really?
Allie shot through the same bullet hole. Like, she put a hole in the target.
Yes.
And then put a second bullet through that hole.
Through that hole?
Isn't that incredible?
you know whose team I want to be on if there's ever a crisis. Allie's
team. Yeah, Allie.
Now we know.
I mean, she went to war. Anyway. If you want to see that, there's video of us shooting. There's video of us getting our butts kicked. It's at Q104KC on Facebook. There's all the live video from all the cooler moments, like shooting the guns. And, of course, graduation Friday was a really cool experience. We got to see the Marines run back to their families for the first time in 13 weeks. And, yeah. Hey, I got a good tan out of it, too. Like, I'm looking a little tanner today. I feel good. So,
well, it makes really what cool. I did for the last 7 days pale by comparison. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really cool experience, though.
It really does.
Yeah, it was cool. And then now we're hearing rumors that the Navy does something similar, so we're going to look into that one for next year.
Sweet. Hmm.
Although if there comes this, like, holding your breath stuff, I'm out. Like,
Just bring an inhaler. You'll be fine.
I saw an officer and a gentleman. That was that was a little crazy.
Oh, I don't know. I think
the dive tests.
I think the legal stuff gets a little shady there when it comes to water and being in a pool. Like, all of a sudden mm-hmm. the legal becomes a whole new ball game. So I don't know if you actually get to do any swimming.
Yep.
In the naval one.
Well, hey, my grandfather was a Marine, so that's pretty awesome.
I have a lot of family that's Marines.
Well, yeah. If any of them joined after 1998, that's when the Crucible was first introduced.
Gotcha. Now he was in the Korean War, so. Yep.
And it was
a whole different thing, whole different time. Mm-hmm. But I bet, yeah.
Breaks
in. Whoopsie in the shape.
Now we got it. And by the way, like, so half the time I was there, you had better weather than I did in San Diego. So you can have, like, yeah, I got a week off. I got an all expenses paid trip, and it was awesome. And that was
and you
great.
You got yelled at.
I got yelled at.
You had to work out.
And you had better weather than me for half a week. Oh, yeah. Also,
we had tornadoes, though, so there was that.
There's that.
Complete different subject. Wednesday night, we went out. That was my night. I wanted to go see downtown San Diego. I went and saw Petco Park, and we saw what's called the Gas Lamp District. Right?
Yes.
And totally saw a naked guy on the street. Like
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, he was sitting there, and, you know, thing out there and flopping around and whatnot.
He was sitting?
And this other guy walks up to, this other homeless guy starts yelling at him, "No, you piece of that mother stuff. He was like so proud of San Diego that he hated that guy was out there being all weird and naked. He's like, not my city, you son of a, and just letting him have it. And the naked guy first stood there. He's like, you keep standing there, I'm going to beat your naked ass. And then he takes a couple steps towards him. So the naked guy real quickly puts on his pants, put on his shirt, and then, but doesn't walk away. He's like, I said, get out of here. He takes two more steps toward him. The naked guy runs around the corner. And then the other homeless guy starts chasing him. But there's a fire truck right here. So the fire truck goes, murr, murr, and kind of gets the aggressor's attention. Says, hey, man, like, thanks for getting the dude's clothes on.
Right.
You got to stop with the threats. And he's like, I'm sorry, that guy just really pisses me off. And I tell you what, I'll go to jail if it keeps his naked ass off the track. I mean, he was letting him have it. I'm sorry. This is profane, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to be saying all these bad words, but we're celebrating an early de Mayo, so we're all three sheets to the wind watching this, just howling, laughing. Like, chase the naked guy.
I didn't tell him I was going to be in San Diego. I kind of forgot about that. My bad.
No.
That's a great place, though. I love San Diego.
Me too.
That was an awesome place.
That was my first time, and I did take one day to head up, and I told him one thing I wanted to do is have a dinner where I could sit at a table and overlook the ocean. I got to do that Thursday. That was cool too. There's something about having a meal and overlooking nothing but like miles and miles and miles and miles
of water.
Oh,
yeah.
Which you might be able to do if you're on the Marine or on the Navy.
Did you stay in barracks or where'd you guys stay?
We stayed in a hotel.
Hotel, okay.
But we were taken to the barracks, and we saw the barracks, and it was, those looked uncomfortable. So I'm glad we didn't sleep there. One more. So I had I got a random roommate assigned to me.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't let, because I just said, Al, let's room up, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We're all friends. Our spouses are married. So there's no awkwardness there or something you might think with a male female room combo.
Right.
But the Marines were not okay with that. So I was assigned a random roommate. I got this principal who is down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So
okay.
Woo Pig Suey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And turns out this guy totally loud farts in his sleep.
He does.
Like, but you know what? Like, if I had the option, I'd rather have loud farts that don't stink over SBDs.
Right.
No one wants the silent but deadlies. But, but like, I mean, you're talking 3 a.m. and just, like, and he didn't snore. And just, I mean, just,
oh my gosh,
like loud, real, like, you know, like sending ripple effects throughout the cheeks kind of farts here.
Wow. You like, know? Check your pants sort of a thing,
yeah.
Right?
Like, and just, like, you know, like someone's honking a boat horn or something, or a ship horn. I'm like, man, dude. But, God, you know, they never stunk. And
yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, first I'm ticked, and then I'm like, this guy can't help it. He's not sleep farting on purpose.
That's the
know?
Worst thing that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a ship going underneath the big bridge
nope,
out there.
That was his booty. That's what that was. That was his booty.
I love it. That's great.
Wow.
All right. And that's the story of Mike's week with the United States Marine Corps.
Well, fantastic, my friend. Hoorah. That's awesome.
Hoorah. Oh, man. Yeah. No, never mind. I'm done with story. I'll tell you another story next week.
It's so good. It's so good.
That's pretty great.
So back here in KC, we had some things happen. Kansas City Chiefs, draft is over. Everybody's kind of in the aftermath. We get the story one morning that DJ Derek Johnson sniffing around the Oakland Raiders. What?
And he signs a one-year deal, $3 million to the Raiders.
It's like Jamal Charles going to Denver.
Yeah.
I mean,
why?
What the heck?
I'm not mad. I don't know why you guys are mad about this. I don't see why this even bothers you at all.
What's wrong with you?
You're going to a division rival?
I don't care. Here's why I don't care.
Oh,
because
boy.
The Chiefs got the best years out of him. He's going to go to Oakland. He's going to struggle.
That's
just like Jamal Charles went to Denver. Guess what he did? Struggles and hurt that team. I'm okay with this signing. It doesn't bother me at all. And I think you should look forward to it when... oh, my gosh, our running back, Hunt. What's his first name?
Kareem.
I was thinking...
I almost said Lamar.
And I'm like, no, that's the owner. When Kareem Hunt trucks him, and it will happen this year.
You do bring up a good point.
That's right.
I think it just hurts because he's a good guy. He's always been a really cool guy. He's good at what he does. And just of all teams, I would have felt not that big of a deal if he would have went to Seattle or Houston or just not the Raiders.
Right. Not anybody in the AFC West.
Yeah, that's true. You'd love to see him continue the career.
Yeah.
I mean, finish up. And
that doesn't happen anymore.
You're right.
That is not a thing. I just watched Albert Pujols hit his 3,000th as an Anaheim Angel and wanted to just... And there was kind of like a...
Yay,
and I'm
Albert.
Like,
I know
Royals fans. I know you don't care about my Cardinals, and that's fine. But... Don't give him. Give it to St. Louis. That building would have erupted. Bush Stadium would have erupted at 3,000 for Albert. He got like a little more than a golf clap in Anaheim.
And you wouldn't have had an empty seat in that house if it was at Bush.
Mm-mm.
Of course not. You know what? I love Albert Pujols, though. He's married to a girl from my high school that I went to high school with. So kudos to him.
That's why you like him?
Yeah, that's why I like him.
No, that's a legit reason to like
him. Oh, my God.
He's got a high school connection. That's cool. I'm like, hey, a girl I know is there with Albert Pujols. That's great.
You don't know him, though.
No,
it doesn't matter. That's cool. Anytime somebody from your high school does anything kind of cool, and I've come to realize that from my high school class, I'm kind of the one that everyone thinks is interesting because I'm the radio DJ.
Really?
You must have went to a small high school.
I went to a large high school, just full of losers.
There it is.
See, I'm small high school, but I keep getting knocked down the list of famous alum because other people keep doing great things.
Right.
I'm like
Albert's wife.
Son of a gun.
Right.
We got Jim Colbert, the golfer. We've got Joyce DiDonato, the opera singer who sang before the World Series.
I'm like, wow,
this knocks me down the list a bunch.
I've heard you belt opera. Let's hear a little.
Yes, there we go.
Here we go.
That was opera.
I have an idea. Tweet us at Monday Funday KC. We want to know who is the most famous person from your high school and why. At Monday Funday KC. We want to hear it.
Please do.
So, Sporting KC, the match over the weekend, pretty boring.
It really was. Truda, I think you were there as well.
I was. I did. I saw the match. Yes.
It was Matt Beasler bobblehead night. You bet I was there.
Did not get one. I was not one of the first 1,000 people in the stadium.
Oh, I got an extra one if you need it.
Oh, sweet. Yes, I'll take it.
I'll sell it to you.
No, that's all right.
Sell it. Yeah. Make that money.
I think I'm an idiot. Come on. But it was really
fun. I'll let
it
you come in on the morning show. How about that?
It's not that exciting.
Sold.
I'm good.
He says.
I'm out. No, but it was a really fun Cinco de Mayo party. They had a couple food trucks out there. There was ice cream. You missed that, too. Free ice cream.
Apparently, I did.
All in the Sprint Plaza. But Sporting was taking on...
Colorado. Do you remember what game you were watching?
No.
Wow,
it must have been
a very fun Cinco party, I guess.
I was in the Bud Light landing. No, I was not paying attention.
It's like landing code for where you fell because you were too drunk, so you went to the Bud Light landing?
It's the section of the stadium where if you have that ticket, it's unlimited drinks and food, including refreshing Bud Light. So, no, I wasn't watching the game 24/7.
I didn't sit there.
No, you didn't. But the game was, I got to be honest, it was a little flat. I mean, the one play... that resulted in a goal for us, I was happy about, and that was about it. It was a flat, boring game. Got to be honest with you, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Sporting gets a win. Eh, okay. Cool. Great. 3 points, we move on. Peter Vermees gets a contract extension, though.
I'm very happy to say that. And he's up for possibly being the manager of the U.S. men's national team. That's huge. Mike, that's right. I know you, that you're rolling your eyes right now, but that's a really big honor.
Good. Well, congrats to him. I hope he gets it.
I do, too.
Will that affect his ability or his concentration on coaching Sporting Kansas City?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, right. I don't think so. Because I think now with the academy and the training, they'll actually do a lot of that here in KC.
Yep.
And so he'll be close to Sporting. Okay. He'll be able to watch
and
over the men's team.
The coaching alliance, I believe, is going to be based here.
I think so, too. Right.
So, that if anything, it's going to help him and the Sporting players possibly move up a little bit faster.
Going to be their headquarters. Now, I was thinking just how bored, Mike, you may have been with Saturday's game.
Here's where you guys are going to be proud of me.
Oh.
For the first time all season, I turned on a Sporting Kansas City soccer game.
Well, look at you.
I saw it on the guide, and I was like, you know what? I thought of the two of you. I'm being sincere when I say that. And I'm like, you know what? I do need to watch a little game. And I watched it for 4 minutes, and I turned it off. And I'll tell you why. Because two things ticked me off right off the bat. One, you guys know how I am with uniforms.
Yes.
And they were wearing their, you're sad about Derek Johnson? Don't worry, because he's wearing a Sporting KC uniform now. He's wearing his Oakland Raiders colors, because that's what Sporting KC is wearing, with those black, disgusting, uncreative alternate kits.
What's funny is the second both teams took the field, I thought of you, Mike. I said, wow, neither team are wearing our actual primary colors. Mm-mm. And this is gonna make Mike really mad.
Yeah,
I can't wait to
up,
talk to him.
And what's up with the orange shoes that the couple of Sporting fans,
a handful of them have?
That's ridiculous. Make them blue. Make them that baby blue. That's a that's a bright color.
But you get freedom to wear whatever you want. Espinoza has lime green.
I see, and you know what? I can't stand that. You're talking to a guy who just was grilled for 3 days about uniform cleanliness and uniform perfection, and with the Marines and how perfect all their uniforms are. And here, our colors are like a darker blue and then a baby blue. And here are my orange cleats. Ugh.
Well, did you ever stop to think that maybe if they're passing, it helps you see the ball off their foot better?
No.
There's a little contrast. I mean, maybe it's a gamesmanship strategy.
Well, if that's the case with the primarily white soccer ball, wouldn't you want a darker cleat?
But you got to see who's on your team. If you if I know that you have orange shoes, I'm going to pass it to you because you're right here.
Well, but a Colorado player could also wear orange shoes. Here's what it looked like to me on the field last night. And when I turned it on, I'm like, I have to make sure I'm watching soccer and not some basketball football hybrid, because it looked like the Raiders against the Golden State Warriors. That's what it looked like.
It kind of did, yes.
It did. Yeah. There was no Steph Curry, though.
I get
checked.
That.
So, I don't know. And and then the other reason I turned it off, but I got past the stupid uniforms because I'm like, all right, well, let's see what we got. And within, this is probably the eighth minute of the match, one of the Sporting guys got tangled up. By tangled up, I mean there was a light breeze between him and a Colorado player, and he totally fell, and he grabbed his hip, and he stayed down. Even the ball was, he was still technically supposed to be playing defense. He just tried to sell the foul call, and they weren't going to have the penalty call, whatever the hell it's called, and he wasn't going to get it. He's, oh, my hip. Oh, there was a breeze, and I'm in pain. And I'm like, get out of here with your, that's the worst part about soccer. You guys know I'm telling the truth. The fake injuries are such a, I mean, talk about lack of sportsmanship. I can't stand that.
I will say there was a lot of that on Saturday with both teams. Ugh. However, when there was actual injuries, they kept going. So, I mean, it's a little bit of crying wolf here, but yeah. I mean, that's the risk you run. It is what it is. That's just the game.
Strategy.
So, yeah. I mean, maybe in another 2 months, I'll watch a game. I have a friend in St. Louis who loves soccer and wants to come out to visit us and then go to a Sporting KC game. So if I set that up, you guys have any, like, extra tickets? Because I don't really want to buy tickets. I just want to mooch off yours or use your connection. So can we make that happen?
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find some. Maybe.
Make that happen.
Shaylee barely goes, but we'll find some. By the way,
she's all up in the Bud Light landing zone where she lands when she's drunk.
By the way, we got the news about the upcoming media game for Sporting KC.
We're so excited,
Shaylee,
Mike.
And I have taken part in the media game in years past. We've played on the field at halftime during a real soccer game, and this year is a little bit different, and I think it's actually going to benefit us a little bit better.
So we are going to actually be doing penalty kicks instead of playing a full game.
Which is great because running's not my thing, to be honest with you, and up and down that field. And then I got schooled by some chick from Channel 5 a few years ago.
It was really funny.
I got a Marine friend I can introduce you to. Fix that running thing.
Great. Oh, could he take this off by the time I go to Disney this summer?
Probably about 2 weeks with him. And yeah.
Dude, I might actually like that.
2 weeks. Well, you won't.
You won't like getting yelled at.
I don't mind getting yelled at. I get that at home.
You don't.
I just
listen.
Don't like running.
No, you get used to getting yelled at real quick out there. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So there's a chance that Trude and I both will be on the field doing penalty kicks for our team. It's also going to be retro night, and it's the next home game that they're going to be playing.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm old. I don't like to run. So
guys, perfect for retro night.
Yes.
If there's an extra spot, sign me up because I want to take a kick. But my ultimate goal, I don't even care if the ball goes in. Here's what I want to do. I want to kick the ball and I want to get it to curve. I want to try to kick a curve.
That's called
ball.
A bend.
To bend it like Beckham, yeah.
I'm going to try to curve the ball.
No, you're
going to
bend it. You're not playing. You don't even know the word.
No, please, get Keller out there.
You don't bend a ball. A ball is round, is unable to be bent like this.
Why do they call it bend it like Beckham?
This because soccer's full of stupid ass terms. Like, okay, I'm sorry.
And you want to play the game? Get out of here with that.
Nil. No, it's zero. Nil's not even a word. It's just like three letters they put together. You can bend. So like a rod or something, you know, you can't bend a ball. That isn't that's impossible.
You're bending the ball, you're bending a kick.
Yeah. I hope you guys probably go to Kaufman and like, oh, come on, throw him the old bend ball. Yeah, throw him the bend ball.
No, we know the difference between our sports. Thank you very much, Mike.
Oh,
go
my
back
gosh,
to the Marines. Go get
so
yelled
great.
At again.
I'm gonna yell at you all. You bend
the ball.
You can't bend a ball.
Yeah, can't go tell Beckham that.
Hey, congratulations to the Bend Ballers, the Kansas City Royals. They got their first series win in May.
Woo-hoo.
But hey, they got one.
Yay.
Now they're heading to Baltimore.
34th game to do it.
It's going to happen.
Oh, well.
Heading to Baltimore tomorrow. Today's off day.
By the way, one of the most beautiful ballparks in baseball, Camden Yards, there in Baltimore. Now, the neighborhood around it, a little sketch. Maybe you watch the news.
Right.
But the actual park itself, beautiful. That's one of those ballparks that sits perfectly inside its downtown surroundings. Royals, pay attention, 2030. I forget the name of the building out in right field and with the clock. Beautiful.
But Camden Yards, the big stadium out there. So we talked to on our morning show at KC 102.1. We had Danny Duffy on our show on Friday.
Good friend of the
Danny's
show.
Danny's a good friend of ours. He's a good patron of a Variety Children's Charity. On Friday, I'll give them a little shout-out. They opened up a brand-new inclusive playground that will include able-bodied kids and kids with disabilities. They can play all in one area at the Kansas City Zoo. It's awesome.
And it's really cool because you actually get to see the giraffes right from where you're at, so you don't have to miss anything. It's not like you're just out in the playground somewhere.
Is it one of the playgrounds that's got kind of like the rubberish floor so the kids can bring their wheelchairs on there?
Yep.
I saw one of those at Mizzou. There's a big women's and children's hospital there. We used to do work with them back when I worked there. And it was the first of its kind that I'd ever heard of, like a wheelchair accessible playground. Beautiful idea.
And
love it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Trude, but I think this is the first one in a zoo in the country.
I believe so. I mean, in such a, you know, they've done them in parks and stuff before this, but they've now put this in the zoo. And Variety's next step is to put one in KCI Airport, the new one that they're going to build, which would be the first of its kind in an airport anywhere in the world as well. But Danny has been so fantastic. He and his wife, Sarah, they've both given to Variety. They've come out to our radiothon. So we had him on the show to talk about it. He's throwing the first game tomorrow in Baltimore and looks forward to the crab cakes as well. So give us a little insight on what life is like on the road.
Priorities.
Yes.
Maybe that'll be the next thing I go and travel. I'll a week with the Marines. Maybe I'll do a week with the Royals on a road trip. Fly in that private jet.
Don't they have like a media fantasy camp or something?
I don't know. Let's look into that.
Somebody does.
If you get to kick a ball at the sporting game, then I get to go travel with the Royals.
I'm a little peeved that I wasn't invited to this Royals game. I thought we were a team. Apparently.
The Royals game.
No, the Sporting KC game, your little media halftime thing that you're doing at Sporting.
Yeah, nothing set in stone yet.
I guess I can try to get you in.
Yeah, I think you should. I just think as the team that we are, I think it would just be the right thing to do.
Well, we don't want to leave him out.
Do we?
Well, on that note, all right. Glad to hear your stories, Mike. Yeah, sure.
I'm glad you came back in one piece. I am proud of you.
Oh, we whipped it down. By the way, hold on. What are you drinking here?
It's coconut water.
This is... Oh, it's coconut water.
Ooh, I've tried that before.
Disgusting.
It's awful.
What's wrong with you people?
C2O, natural hydration. This is the drink that Shaylee has here in her can that's sweating. Natural hydration, fat-free, unsweetened, never from concentrate, neutral pH, gluten-free, non-GMO. What?
Sounds terrible.
It's delicious.
Two words for you, Mountain Dew.